it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's going on, everybody? This is the Talking Tactics podcast. My name is Daniel.
Half up, double H.
Yeah, we do the podcast every Tuesday. At least we try. Today's Wednesday. Remember to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of that. Half Hope, where can people find you?
Halfoffootballhots.com.
Yep. I'm at Daniel Taluk. Carl is at Anchorman616. He should be back soon enough. Follow us on Patreon. Follow us on, subscribe on Apple Podcasts. There's a little thing. You can try it for free. So there's like a free day, 3-day trial that you can get. So check that out. Help us out. Is there any other plug? Patreon, boom.
The other pod will be back soon. We've just had a lot of stuff to do, but we'll try and we'll get back. Especially with the other stuff that's been popping off, we're going to be back. Especially now, we'll definitely do Friday.
Yeah. All right. So this is one thing I don't like. People talk about retired players as if they're dead. Eden Hazard he's well off. He should be okay. Nothing has happened to him as yet. His career is over, but he's not over. Eden Hazard announced his retirement yesterday. It's good that we didn't tape yesterday because I've had a lot of time to just sit back and reflect and gather my thoughts about what I think about his career and where I think it went wrong and how I feel it went right in some ways. So I'm sure you've done streams and videos and you've heard a lot of different perspectives from a lot of people. How have you synthesized your thoughts and where are you at with it 24, 48 hours later?
I always knew what was going to happen. But, you know, when you're not hit with the reality that, oh, damn, it really has happened. And it's sad. Because if this was 2006, 2007, 96, 92, 88, 32 is fine to retire. That's bro, in the 80s or the 70s, if you're 32, you're an elder statesman. You're the elder statesman if you're 32 and still playing in the 70s or the 80s. Shearer, I think, quit England, I think when he was 30 or 31. So, but this is 2023. Modric won his Ballon d'Or as age of 31. Benzema won his Ballon d'Or at age of 34. Messi won World Cup at 34, 30, 35. So 32 is very young. And I just think that Hazard never fulfilled his full potential. Again, we'll probably get into the whole failed generation. That's now the hot topic now that everyone is saying of like him, Neymar, and Pogba. But someone of his ability, Real Madrid was when, okay, now this is now the very big beginning. This is really the beginning of this is now, because it began in 2018 on the World Cup, then it went through to the 18-19 season. So you thought, oh, this is when Hazard is now fully in the conversation as one of the generation's best. But it didn't happen, you know. And the whole thing, you say to yourself that how will history remember him? So when the dust is settled, obviously the McDonald's jokes, Burger King jokes, overweight jokes, boom. But 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the line, will he be remembered as one of the worst transfers of all time? Or will he be remembered as one of the most skilled players of his generation?
You can have both.
But what will be more prevalent?
Oh, I think time is generally good to players because the bad things kind of recede into the background and video really is what remains. And the videos that will be shared will be the 17 at Chelsea when he was young. Then you'll have the number 10 when he's like more developed into his prime. I feel like those clips of the goal against Newcastle and Liverpool and the goal against Arsenal where Coughlin spun around, like I feel like those will last longer than the immediate memory of what happened at Real Madrid. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, and it's weird now because we're in a new space. I don't know how long the memory of social media will be. In other words, like how dedicated will people be to their takes at the end moving forward? Have people entrenched themselves into saying Hazard was trash and now they have to maintain that for the rest of their life because they've tweeted it or Instagrammed it or TikToked it? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't remember Ronaldinho really in those like Milan days, or actually better analogy would be Ronaldo. We don't remember Ronaldo from Milan really. Mm. We remember the Barcelona season, the Brazil season, or campaigns rather.
PSV, yeah.
PSV, Brazil. Real Madrid when he was actually fit. Inter, obviously, before, you know, his knees exploded. So that's what we remember. We don't, now, people do remember like big Ronaldo. And as a joke, but what I think what's more prominent really are those clips of like impossible technique and different things.
Mm.
So I feel like that will live on for Hazard. I do want to read what he said though, because I feel like it puts in perspective his 32. So there's a general 32, but then there's what's Eden Hazard's 32. Mm. So you must listen to yourself. This is from his Instagram. And stop at the right time. After 16 years and more than 700 matches played, I've decided to end my career as a professional footballer. I was able to realize my dream. I've played and had fun on many pitches around the world. During my career, I was lucky to meet great managers, coaches, and teammates. Thank you to everyone for these great times. I will miss you all. I also want to thank clubs I've played for, Lille, Chelsea, and Madrid, and the Belgian FA for his selection. A special thank you to his family, friends, advisors, and the people who have been close to me in good times and bad. Finally, a huge thank you to you, my fans, who have followed me for all these years and for your encouragement everywhere I've played. Now is the time to enjoy my loved ones and have new experiences. See you off the field, my friends. They thank Getty Images for the pictures. But I think the top of that is important. So he's 32. You would think it's kind of young. To retire, and it is relative to 2023, but I think it's important. 16 years and 700 matches at 32, and then if we add on top of that, the last 4 years, he played the equivalent of maybe 1.5 seasons for Madrid over 4 years. So You think to yourself, how did he get that many appearances for club and country? When the last 4 years he basically hasn't played, leads one to conclude, he was playing a lot of games from age 15, 16 up until 29, 28. That put a unique toll on his body. I saw a stat that Forward posted, and it had like the most minutes played at age 24. Hazard was miles ahead of everybody. That was listed. I mean, every footballer you can think of was like on this thing, like Kane, Ronaldo, Messi, blah, blah, blah. And the two that had the most were Dele Alli, or Dele for Carl's purposes.
Oh, wow.
Dele Alli and Eden Hazard. Dele Alli had maybe played 22,000 minutes, 21,000 by the time he hit 24. Eden Hazard was at 24,000. He was like a clear outlier. I mean, he virtually carried Lille to a league title when he was 20, 21, young player of the year. Then he goes to Chelsea. And at Chelsea, his first season was that marathon season where they played in the Club World Cup and Super Cups. And they were in the Champions League. Then they went down to Europa League. That added more games. They made it to the final and won it. I think that season Chelsea played like 66, 67, 68 games. It was a crazy season. The one season that Torres looked good statistically, but that was just more because of the number of games he played rather than some skill that he had at the time. So for Chelsea, he never really missed a chunk of a season except 15, 16, where he had the hip injury. I hear you when you say 32 now is young, relatively. You know, that's the, it should be the end of your prime, but not the end of your career. But for Eden Hazard, I think his 32 is different than a lot of other players' 32, because nobody at a level has played more minutes before 24 than him. And we can, there's different examples. If you look at Michael Owen or Wayne Rooney, like these young prodigies who playing in the first team by age 16, they don't always last to 30, 31, 32. Was it, who just retired earlier this year? Mesut Ozil. He retired at 33. Different circumstances, albeit, but like people retire at this age. So it's not completely foreign. It's just, we know the talent that Hazard had, and you would have wanted to see it maximized. But we can get into that in a bit, but I'll let you go.
No, for me, I mean, I get that point, but I still disagree, because it's too much of a sharp nosedive from the 18-19 season to Real Madrid. So I can accept an injury. I can accept mentality or everything, but can't accept that, oh, because of how many games he's played, it's always expected for him to sort of like have that nosedive at Real Madrid. It didn't make it any sense.
You don't think someone can just fall off a cliff?
Not that sharp. You can't go from how good you were in the 18-19 season to 19-20 and so forth at Real Madrid being that inconspicuous. It makes no sense. You could tell that he was just going. So there was nothing in those first few years at Real Madrid that said, oh man, this is just, you know, the guy has too much mileage on his body. No, something happened. And hence why now he's retired and he now has time to maybe reflect and think about it. It's now time for him to say that, was it injury? Was it something deeper psychological? Was it you really were not prepared to move up that level to Real Madrid, where you were sort of coddled within the bubble of Chelsea, allowed to not train and therefore do whatever you wanted, and you're not ready for what Real was about? Whatever it is, but one thing that I just can't accept is, yeah, look, man, I played so many games, because no, like, I'm sorry, like, that's can't fly because of what you were doing. If there was a gradual decrease and decline, I'll get it. You can't go from that. That's why it's a mystery. From that season of Chelsea to that season of Real Madrid, that's a mystery. It makes no sense.
I don't think it's a mystery, bro. Because I've had time to think about this, and I'm curious to hear you kind of shoot this down, because I think you will. But I've had time to think and kind of piece it together. And I'll ask two questions, and maybe I'll get the answers I don't want. But just what do you think Hazard's two best seasons were at Chelsea?
Well, obviously, 18-19.
Mm-hmm.
When did they say, was it 14-15?
The season that they won the league, yes. Yeah. That was 14-15.
Yeah.
So his two best years are 14-15 and 18-19. This is important. Because I was thinking, what is the turning point in Eden Hazard's career? Like, how do we get to the point where by the time he reaches Real Madrid, it's not clicking? And I pinpoint the summer of 2018 as being critically important here for a few reasons. Number one, Cristiano Ronaldo has left in present time. Like, I'm playing a bit with the timeline in terms of my tense. But summer of 2018, Cristiano Ronaldo has left Real Madrid. So Juventus gave Real Madrid $100 million. Ronaldo's gone. So that's important piece number one. Number two, Vinicius hasn't yet had a full season in the first team. I think he played some games for Castilla, but he hadn't yet played a whole season for Madrid, so he's not entrenched yet. Madrid fans might have an idea, but he's not firmly in the team yet. Number three, Chelsea are in transition. So Sarri's coming in, Conte's leaving. Does Hazard really need to stay for that 18-19 season? Probably not. He could have left. And fourth and finally is the World Cup. So there's a World Cup that summer. Now, I will come back to those four points in a second, but it's important to point out something that Samuel Eto'o said, Demba Ba said it, Loic Remy said it, Mourinho said it, Conte said it. Everyone who's interacted with Eden Hazard has said something similar. And this isn't a new point or a novel point. It's been said countless times in the past 24 hours. Eden Hazard is not a great trainer. He's not a great professional in the professional sense of the word. Like, he's not showing up early. He's not doing gym work. He just shows up and balls. Now, I think it's important to couch that criticism by saying 99.9999% of people in football, or any field really, have to work their ass off in order to be good at it. So most of the footballers that Eden Hazard is playing with, they have to train. They have to do weightlifting. They have to do all of these different types of things in order to perform on the pitch. It's the only way that they've made it to that position, because they have to do those things. But there are rare people, and Eden Hazard was one of those. I don't need to do any of this. I just got it like that. Whatever it is, I have it. If I were to do it, perhaps I could have been better, but I don't need to do the same things you guys need to do, because my talent is just so much greater than you guys. There's only one footballer in Eden Hazard's generation that's better than him, talent-wise. That's Neymar. Everybody else, I mean, you can have an argument. Is it Pogba? Is it Verratti? Come to find, is it De Bruyne, Salah, Kane, Kante? You can have the argument. But I think Hazard is fixed at number two. So he has it like that. He doesn't need to do the things that everybody else needs to do in order to prepare themselves for match day. He just shows up. I think there was a story about, like, Loic Remy said he showed up to training. He didn't have his shoes tied. And he's like, you train like this? He was like, I'm the boss. That's just what he said. And then they played the game. He got an assist. He assisted Loic Remy, I think, on his debut goal. And then he came to him after the game and said, you see, I'm the boss. So Eden has,
also his final game at Lille as well. Like what he was doing the night before.
he didn't need to do what everybody else needed to do. So I think people were looking at him through, why aren't you doing what's normal? Because everybody has to do this in order to play. He didn't. Those habits, you could make an argument that you, your personality, your person, who you are as an individual, is the result of your habits, and that your habits in tandem dictate who you are. So there's a synergy between you deciding your habits and what your habits are. Eden Hazard's habits of not being a great professional and just waking up, rolling out of bed, and being able to play dictated that trajectory for himself. And I'm glad that we agree. His two best seasons are 14-15 and 18-19. Each of those seasons has something very important before them. They have a World Cup. Why is that important? It means that in each of those summers, Eden Hazard cannot take time off. He has to play through the end of the previous season. Then he has to go to Belgium training. In 14, I think they make the quarterfinals of the World Cup. In 2018, they play as many games as you can in a World Cup. They play 7. One of them is a third place game. He wasn't allowed in each season before his two best seasons to go to France, go to Belgium, take the summer off, relax, play himself into shape. He had to stay in shape. He had to play a World Cup in games that meant something special to him. If we go to 18, which is where I think his career falls apart, and I'll shut up because I know I'm talking a lot, but if he would have gone to Madrid after the World Cup, the form that he would have carried into that first season at Madrid revolutionizes what his career looks like. Instead, he played that season for Chelsea under a gentleman's agreement that if you come back for one season, we'll let you go to Madrid. But in that 2019 summer, there's nothing for him to do. There's no World Cup. There's no Euros. There's no nothing. So 14-15 ends with Chelsea winning the league. You have something to celebrate. It's your first league title. You guys have done something special. You've reached some sort of pinnacle or whatever. You relax. What happens 15-16? It's his worst season at Chelsea. 18-19... they win the Europa League. He has a great game against Arsenal. He gets to celebrate, relax. There's no summer tournament in 2015. There's no summer tournament in 2019. He gets his move to Real Madrid. And the next season, he has a comparable season to what happened to him in 15-16 at Chelsea, where things just fall off a cliff. But what was good for him in 2015 was that he was 24 years old. He hadn't had all those miles on his clock. It's 4 years later now. And 4 years later, his body wasn't able to cope with the amount of games he played, the style of play that he had, which was fouled all the time. I mean, the amount of times the dude was just hacked down in the Premier League was nuts. So if you look at his career, there's a parallel to what there's parallels to where it's not really that big of a surprise that it ended how it has. And as you said at the very top, you knew it was coming. You just didn't know exactly when, but it's now. And I think it makes perfect sense when you line everything up.
That's an interesting take, but which makes sense. But what I would say though is 2018-19 was a substantially better season than any season he's had. So as good as it was in 14-15, he only really began to really get good towards the latter part of that season. 18-19 was from top to bottom. He was amazing. No, really. From the 2018 World Cup, 18. So I feel that
he was the best player at that World Cup. Like, let's be real.
Yeah. So I feel that he had entered a different plateau and had unlocked something in his footballing ability, 18-19. So even if, okay, he didn't have like a sum of a World Cup, I just felt that this was a different player than we'd ever seen. And he'd now sort of entered into another level. This isn't the 14-15 guy. Yeah, that guy was good. This guy here is a whole other level of a guy. So you would feel that, okay, no, Real Madrid, no, these are this is now the level that you go to really prove that you're one of the best in the world. Like, if you prove you're the best, you go to Barca or really go to Real Madrid. So the question is, knowing that, because a player knows when they've really reached a new level and they've reached that other plateau of themselves. So once you realize that, it's like, why don't you fully apply yourself in the summer, knowing that you're going to Real Madrid? And that's just why you were dealing with a very interesting individual, which is an individual who, even though you know you're going to Real Madrid and this is the biggest thing in your career and a huge moment in your career, you don't really fully take it seriously enough, both physically and mentally.
But his habits are what his habits were. Like, that's who he was as a person, was not to take it seriously.
No, that could be true. But I'm just saying, though, it's still crazy. Like, it's still crazy that even if you... Because my thing is, if you have those habits, then don't go to Real Madrid. Like, you have to be aware what Real Madrid is. That's the thing. Like, everybody knows what Real Madrid is. Like, every footballer knows that, okay, this is the highest plateau. And by going there, you know that you have to apply yourself because you know that it's sink or swim. To even accept to go to Real Madrid, whatever habits you may have that may be in antithesis to what Real Madrid is, you have to find some sort of a middle ground, or else there's no point. Or else say, no, I want to stay at Chelsea where it makes sense, that I can pretty much be crap, be useless, but it's fine because this is my comfort zone. By maintaining those habits at Real Madrid, what can you say? Because it's like, you've screwed yourself. Look, see, it goes back to Dino and Rijkaard. Because Rijkaard said that, look, to get the best out of Dino, he had to always be happy. Messi and Ronaldo are the modern player. They represent the modern player and the archetype of the modern player. But you see, Messi and Ronaldo, they're straight A students. Boom. Science, maths, geography, A. Like a Hazard, a Dino, a Maradona.
Class clowns, bro.
But they'll get an A star. I say, wait, hang on. You've had C's, D's. Then they'll do this amazing piece of work that's at an A star. Then next week, they'll get another C. I said, wait a minute. How did you get an A star where you didn't come to any of the classes? You did no revision. You were being a clown for most of the class, but you got an A star. And you just don't know how they got it. But these are the guys like Messi, Ronaldo. These guys are in class every single day. They're revising, dust their eyes, cross their T's, and these guys are getting A's all consistently. But as much as A's as they get, they don't have that A star without working hard that they could just get from nothing. So
Messi might be the rarity, bro. Messi is that one that I don't need to, but I do it anyway. Like, he's that rare guy, I think.
Oh, no, but Messi works hard.
Yeah, Messi no, I'm saying I don't know if Messi really needed to at a level, because I think he was that talented. But because he did work hard, he was able to extend himself.
But the reason why he was so consistent is because, like, no, he has that natural talent, but Messi's personality is of, no, this football thing is serious. This means a lot to me. Like, you can even see it when he's interviewed. He doesn't have a personality. All his life is training and football because he loves football so much. But for someone like a Maradona or Dino, no, they have a life outside of this. They enjoy this, but anyway, the key word in that Hazard statement was fun. That was the key word there. Same thing with Dino. Fun. For Messi and Ronaldo, of course fun is there, but it's not really that it's about, no, this is serious though. Mm-hmm. And I take this seriously. Dino and Hazard didn't take it seriously. They took it serious to an extent, but not really truly seriously.
Do you know?
And that is why.
Oh, yeah.
So, and that is why. See, if you go to Real Madrid, you have to take it seriously. You have to, like, 100%. You simply have to, because that's just what that club is about.
Do you think if he goes after the World Cup to Madrid and has that 18-19 level at Madrid, are we having a different narrative? Even if he does fall off a cliff in 19, he gets injured or whatever the case may be. If he has just that one stellar season for Madrid, I think the conversation is completely different, no?
It's different, not completely, because if he has that, but then is then trash for the rest of the seasons, oh, it's different, but not completely different. Then the convo is, man, do you remember that one season he had at Real Madrid? If only he could replicate that. Now, if in that season he led Real to a UCL, oh, it's a completely different convo. Mm. So if his performance
was good enough for it.
Yes, we see if it's, because remember, that was Liverpool who won that. So if performances were good enough to lead the Real to a UCL and he dropped off a cliff afterwards, oh, then it's a completely different convo. Then it's about, yeah, I know he was crap for three seasons, but man, that season where he was the best in the world, won the Ballon d'Or and led Real to a UCL, oh, then it's a completely different convo.
You make a really good point about, like, class clowns and tests and different things. Like, that's an interesting way to put it. Hazard, because his habits were what they were, and he was who he was, and Chelsea was an environment that fostered that, they allowed him to get away with that because they understood, we will accept you playing yourself into shape during August, September, October, to where when we reach November, December, January, you'll be generally good enough to where you can facilitate some things for us, whether in a title, Europa League, Champions League. They fostered that, and he was comfortable there. Because they allowed him that habit, it's almost like he didn't develop enough scar tissue in order to really understand what it meant to be a professional when you reach hardship. The reason that I think he's retired at 32, on top of playing, you know, 700 games for club and country, once it stops being fun and it starts being work and it's not as easy to recover and it's not as fun to be in the physio room and trying to, you know, get my ankle back and recuperate and all this different type of stuff, why am I doing this? Not to mention, I'm not the player I once was when I was 22, when I'm 32. The type of things that I was able to do, I can't skip around this guy in the same way. I don't have the burst of pace like I used to. So it's not just fun in terms of being around and, you know, joking with the guys and having banter and this and that. The part of the enjoyment that I got from football, if you're Eden Hazard, and we used to see this all the time, he would beat somebody on a dribble, and instead of going forward, he'd wait and beat them again. Like, he would just, he would be so disrespectful sometimes to defenders, but he would dribble past them twice when he didn't need to. Or he would take the route that got him to dribble past more people sometimes. It's like, you could have just passed it to whoever the center forward was or whoever the fullback was, but he was like, nah, I'm gonna dribble again. Because to him, it came so easy. He played the game at a different pace. You have to be able to feel that deteriorate. I think we all do relative to what we do as we get older. The game isn't fun for me to play because I'm not able to do what I once was able to do. Now I have to work in order to be less of myself. I'm retiring. I'm out. I quit. On one level, I give him credit for checking out. For all intent and purpose, he was retired at 30. He wasn't like the last 2-3 years. I mean, they were useless.
Yeah.
So he was retired at 30. It's just he stayed around to play the World Cup. And when that went how it went, and, you know, shout out Lukaku and De Bruyne and all those dudes, but it went how it went. And he was like, all right, I'm out. I'm gone. I thought Neymar might do a similar thing, but Neymar's happy just to get the money.
Then he'll like, retire.
There's no way, if Neymar was in the same situation, that he leaves Madrid with a season left on his deal. I don't believe he would have done that. Hazard left with a year on his deal. He could still be collecting money like Gareth Bale did, but he was like, nah, I'm gone. Like, it's not fun for me anymore. It's not enjoyable. So he didn't develop the professional habits that would have allowed him to progress or work through hardship because the game came so easy to him. And it's that double-edged sword, I suppose. You're so talented that you never have to build up that work ethic to where when you need it, by the time you're 30, 31, 32, these are muscles you've never had to use before. Work? Mm. At what? Football? Like, I'm nicer than everybody, but what happens when you're just as good as everybody and then you get injured?
Yeah, see, look, we still await what the drug bite is going to be for Pogba. Because if it's the full 4 years, I think he retires.
Yeah.
And I think after the Copa America next summer, I think Neymar's going to retire as well. Neymar ain't going to be in that 2026 World Cup.
No.
So they want to just look at these three. They're probably going to all be retired in the next year or so, which is crazy.
Well, see, crazy. I think Neymar is going for the money, bro. Like, Neymar comes from a place where they need bread, and it's a different level.
He has enough bread, bro, with his company and everything.
There's never, but is there ever enough money?
No, there's not. No.
He could have retired this summer, Neymar, and been set. But Saudi's offering a bag. Do you think anybody offered Hazard a contract? Somebody said, must have.
You know, Fabrizio tweeted out that he got offers from the MLS and Saudi, and I'm not interested.
It's just not in him to play. He doesn't want to play. As I said, he just doesn't want to play.
Nah.
It's not that he can't play or he's not being offered to play. It's not in him to play, whether it's just I'm through with football, I'm sick of it, I was never in love with it, I was just good at it, or whether it's I don't want to play, like, I don't know, some percentage less than what I'm used to being, so I'd rather just leave it alone.
For me, I think it's for me 100% is a fun aspect. Mm. For me, like, he just doesn't enjoy it anymore. And I think that because he doesn't enjoy it, I'm out. Like, and I think, you see, for me, that's why the imperfections are guys that you like. Again, let's use Messi for an example. Because Messi is similar to Floyd Mayweather. Like, Messi is, when you look at Messi's career, for a footballer, it's pretty much the perfect career, pretty much. And he's arguably the most talented offensive player we've ever seen in terms of his abilities. But I look at Messi and I'm like, I mean, amazing talents, dribbling, passing, shooting, goals, records, titles, moments, all this stuff. But I'm still drawn by the imperfections of Hazard and Dino. You take Floyd Mayweather, bro, no one beat him. Technically speaking, Mayweather is one of the best boxers of all time. From a technical point of view, he only got rocked once by, I think, Sugar Shane Mosley. And that was it. As much as I admire Mayweather, we are drawn to Tyson. And we're drawn to Ali. Because I think people are drawn to those guys who are imperfect. Those guys who have lost. Those guys who never really quite... Because, you see, do you know what? Because we are imperfect ourselves.
Mm.
So, because us regular people are imperfect, we are more drawn to the Tyson and the Ali than to the Mayweather. You see, for some people, Messi can be their idol because people love that perfection. Oh, he's amazing, boom. But for me, I'm more drawn to the Maradona. Drugs. Taking cocaine and then playing for Napoli. Like Dino, who once he stopped having fun, the guy just vibed out and it was out. Hazard, where you could tell that, and those stories of he didn't train well, he didn't take it seriously, it was just about vibes, that's the kind of player I like. Because when you just look at how he played, it was a guy who was generally having fun. So again, it goes back to the straight-A student and the class clown. Like, you have to respect the straight-A student because that's amazing of what you're doing. And you have to respect the consistency and the dedication. But really, you're drawn to the class clown. The person that mystifies you, that intrigues you, is the class clown. Because you're like, bro, you're a moron. But if you actually applied yourself, do you know what you could do? So you spend so much time of you being a moron, but it is because of yourself being a moron and being such a clown that you can just somehow by mistake just do something that is the most dynamic thing ever.
Do you know? I was on I was on Black Power Media last week and we were having a discussion about Pelé, and one of the guys, his name is Robert, he lives in Rio, and he said Pelé was seen as a god, right? So he was that straight-A student. Pelé was the straight-A student. But if you go to Brazil, what you'll find is that people loved Garrincha. It's Pelé was almost put on this pedestal where he couldn't be touched. But Garrincha, because he was a man of the people, he came from poverty, he had the polio where his legs were different sizes, his different dribbling, he struggled with alcohol and drinking things, probably because of the things that were going on in his body and his play style. He used drink as a way to cope. People were more drawn to Garrincha than they were Pelé, because he seemed like somebody who was tangible, touchable, fallible. And that story of Garrincha, at least in Brazil, I think it's analogous in the kind of class clown.
And even on there, literally just jumping off that great point, Maradona and Messi. Because for some people, Maradona will always be the GOAT. You see, for me, nothing Maradona or Stone, Maradona and Pele. You see, Pele is just like the general GOAT, the general consensus. But football's real GOAT is Maradona. Not really for what he did on the pitch, it's for what he represents off the pitch. Because that passion is what football is about. So the way that he cared about football and how mad and crazy he was and how he celebrated, that's football. So when you see Maradona and you just look at him out of football and how he operates and how much he cares about football and what he's willing to do, that is what football is about. So, which is why, and when you look at someone like a Hazard or a Dinho, because it's about personality. It's about personality. And Hazard's personality was about fun and enjoyment. And this, it's almost the way things are rhyming. So on Sunday, you had that City Arsenal game. And what was trending? Haaland going through this crazy spell. And I go on a massive tirade as to how can we have a tree trunk on the front cover of a football video game? And how can Haaland be the face of football? And then a few days later, you now have Hazard retiring. And you see, because now we're entering into an interesting part of the convo. Who's the face of football? Is it Haaland? Is it Mbappe? The face of football is Pep.
Ooh.
And that's a problem. Because you see,
I'm with you.
You see, because if you're a kid, Dinho brought a whole bunch of people into football. So, like, people like on my channel, most of my subs, I'll say my sweet spot, my subs are like 19 to like 24, 20, 25. So if you're in that 19 to 25 bracket, there's a good chance that Ronaldinho got you into football.
Do you know what? I feel like Ronaldinho might be aged out of 1924, bro. His peak is 2006.
So I'm trying to do the math. So if you're 23, how old were you in 06?
You would have been 3 years old if you're 19. You would have been 3 years old in 2006. So I don't know. Dino might be aging out, which is sad.
No, but yeah. I spoke to a lot of...
But I hear you, though.
Yeah, but I was going to... I know most of these guys who I know are 23, 24, 25, says, oh, Dino was the reason. So, but you know, even if they were aged out, their uncle, their brother, their older thingy must have just been watching Dino. It's like, for me, because my brother was obsessed with Maradona, I kept on seeing Maradona tapes. So Maradona was like the first superstar I knew of because of my older brother. But then came R9 and then Zola. So my thing is, for a kid, Hazard will inspire you to play football. Because like, oh, I want to do that. Oh, look what I did. Oh, look at that. Let me go to the playground and now mimic that. How could you mimic a system? You know, like, I'm only one guy. Like, when Okocha did, you know, that thing where he rolls off the ball and then does a step over.
Yes. Everybody I knew tried that.
Me and my cousin, when we're like, because we're both in the same class, we literally spent like the whole afternoon trying to do that move. So we had the ball, and we just try to say, oh, yeah, and we all try to take turns trying to do that move that Okocha did. Same thing with the Ronaldo step over. So those are the things that get you excited about football.
R9.
And then once you get excited...
R9, to be clear. Not the Cristiano step overs.
Oh, no, so yeah, R9. But see, those things that get you excited, that once you get excited and do those things, then you learn about the tactics, playing in a team, knowing your role, understanding the system. But the initial inception is the enjoyment from that individual. But the issue right now is everybody's a system now. Everybody is a system. And if you have everybody just being this one organism, it's very hard to... Because my thing is, for a young person right now, they'll say, okay, Haaland is out, dude. Why? Look at his stats. So my thing is that how good were Iniesta's stats? How good were Maradona's stats? Hazard only had one season where his stats were good. So all these guys like Maradona, Hazard, Dino, Figo, Rui Costa, Pirlo, these are eye test guys where you have to sit in and watch the game. But football is now at a stage where it's about output.
Sick. And if you even look at how the game is marketed, when I was a kid, not a kid, but I would say like maybe 10, 15 years ago, like when they would promote games, it would be, you know, Chelsea against Manchester United or Chelsea against Arsenal. The picture would be Thierry Henry. And it would be Didier Drogba or Lampard, and they would be representing Chelsea. Now, when they say it's going to be Arsenal against Manchester City, they don't put Haaland and Odegaard or Saka. They put Pep's picture and Arteta's picture because the managers and the systems have become more important than the players. I think as a TV company, you do that because the managers are a little bit more permanent in some ways than, especially with those clubs. They're more permanent than the players.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
In the Premier League now, which player are you looking forward to see in the Premier League now? Would you say, oh, I can't wait to see this player? And remember, this builds off of Hazard because when Hazard was playing, there were several guys who were like, I know he plays for Chelsea, but damn, that guy's good. Damn, that guy's good. You know? So as of right now...
There aren't that many like that I would pay money just to watch an individual.
because see, Daniel, back then, whether you supported Arsenal or not, you wanted to watch
Bergkamp, you wanted to watch Pirès.
You wanted to see what Bergkamp was going to do. Whether you supported United or not, you wanted to see what Cristiano was going to do. Whether you supported West Ham or not, you wanted to see what Decani was going to do. Whether you supported Chelsea or not, you wanted to see what Zola was going to do. Whether you supported Tottenham or Newcastle, you wanted to see what Ginola was going to do. So there were so many individuals who, even if you didn't support that scene, you're like, man, that's a damn player. And as you said, as you rightfully put it, that big game was player against player. Yeah, I know it's team against team, but it's Ginola against Cantona. You know, it's Zola against Asprilla. So you were like, yeah, I know there's this team, but there's that team has that guy. And the manager has a blueprint, but he lets that guy cook. Do you know how everything changed? And this goes perfectly well with Hazard.
Pep and Mourinho, man.
No.
Oh,
the moment Pep,
okay, go for it.
The moment Pep came into Barca and told Daniel to kick rocks. That was the inception of where we are right now. The moment Pep came, The moment Pep came in, told Daniel to get lost, and he won all those trophies. You see, if he had told Daniel to go away and he didn't win anything that season, oh, then things are interesting. But it's a combo. It's him saying, Daniel, go. I'm going to create a team in my image without you. No more individuals. No more jazz. We're not making pop music now. It's now pop. Everything is catered for. Jazz is done. It's now pop. I need to control everything. And I'm successful. Crazily successful. Oh, that was the beginning of the end.
Do you know
Michael,
I've
what
been
are you,
going
what are you
past,
say?
Do you know for the past 5 minutes I've been trying to think of a player that I really want to watch and I can't think of one?
There isn't one.
Like I came up with one name, which was Vinicius. Like I would pay money to watch Vinny, but he's not in the Premier League. You said specifically in England, and I'm going through the teams. There's nobody in United I'd pay to watch.
There's
nobody in Chelsea I'd pay
guys.
To watch.
Salah is very effective. De Bruyne is very effective. Are you like, man, I can't wait to see Salah? No. You respect him for how effective he is and how well he plays his role in that system. But you're not looking forward to go and watch him or to go and see him. You're not. And that's the reality.
What's sick is like, you asked me this a few months ago. I might have said Saint-Maximin, but he's gone.
Yeah,
I might have said Mahrez, but he's gone.
Hold up. Isn't that funny? So, and I agree with you. Oh, Saint-Maximin. Okay, yeah. Mahrez, okay. They both went to the same summer.
Same place.
Yeah, so.
Saudi. So.
Saint-Maximin goes. Because Eddie Howe wants a lot more control. So Maximum, I think Gordon fits better into my thing than your boy. Mahrez, that's all cool. But I think I'll prefer a Doku to come in and really do his thing. Even if Doku is nice, but you see, that's the reality we're in right now. But I don't know how you course correct.
So when you're saying who is the face of football and it's a manager, I agree with you that the face of football is Pep and it shouldn't be Pep.
No.
But it is.
Yes.
But if we say as a player, who's the face of football, what's the answer? It's probably Mbappe, right? like in terms of players playing in Europe.
Okay. My thing is that who is or who should be? Those are two different questions. Who is or who should be?
Answer both.
Who is Haaland. Who should be is Mbappe.
Okay. But all things being equal, the person who should be the face of football is Neymar.
Yeah.
If everything was equal and Saudi Arabia didn't matter and everything, like by age, talent, everything.
No, 100%.
Neymar should be the face of football. So I bring that up for this point. Are we slightly making a case that people should watch the Saudi Pro League?
No,
because,
we're not.
Like the coaches in Europe seem to want system players.
Mm.
So they're kicking out Mahrez, Saint-Maximin, Verratti even wasn't fit for purpose at PSG. And I know he's not in Saudi Arabia, but like these are things that coaches are up to and that they're doing.
Will
there ever be a scenario wherein which European the European game will go so far towards the coach or in Brazil they call it football force. It's futebol força, I think. And that's against futebol arts or art. Will it go so far in that direction that different countries with different ideas of what they want to see on the pitch will start collecting players that play in the way that's aesthetically pleasing rather than dictate everything by the manager? just to be quick. I'm thinking if the Saudi Pro League says, okay, you guys don't want ballers. You guys don't want Neymar. You guys don't want Saint-Maximin. You guys don't want Mahrez. You guys don't want Hazard. We'll try to get him. Like, if you guys don't want these players, we'll collect them and put them in a place where people can come and watch. Now, this isn't me making a case for Saudi necessarily, but just it could be done by any country, really. Create a place for the ballers then, if Europe wants to go its way.
You see, you're onto something. Not now, but in a few years' time. Right now, no. Because what you want to see is great individuals play against the best defenders. That's what we want to see. But you're onto something in the sense of, if this keeps on going, Emmanuel continues to recruit all these players and builds up the league in a certain way, and if Europe keeps on giving the managers this power, and Saudi keeps on throwing the money and say, oh, no, come, because we're here about entertainment. We want to entertain. And now the Saudi Pro League looks very different and is operating very differently. What you'll have is something quite weird, which is the Saudi Pro League is sort of now re-engineering football. And it's sort of like going back into the past as how football used to be. Whereas Europe is now going into a whole different direction that's led by the manager.
Do you know, because I was thinking, not sorry to cut, but back in the day, Brazil was that place where, and it was, they didn't have to buy their talent necessarily. They were making it. But like that, those Santos teams and all of, they had ballers on their teams and they didn't go to Europe. Some of them weren't allowed to go, but or didn't want to go because of racism and different things. But there has been in the past these different enclaves in the world where the game is different than Europe. And when those teams played European teams, they were better than them.
Yeah.
So I wonder maybe if in obviously, as you say, not in the in the near future. But if we look forecast 20, 25, 30 years down the road, if the Pepism of football continues in England, Spain, Portugal, France, Germany, you name it. Some other country must have to come up with this idea of, we want to play football a different way and a more fun way that allows players to express themselves and just have more fun.
Yeah, and the key thing is, sorry, the key thing is, people understand that the beauty of football is that you can never crack the code. You can never crack the code. There is no tactic that makes you win 10 times out of 10. Hence why I say jazz against pop music. Pep is pop music. And what Saudi Pro League are trying to do is jazz. Pop music, it'll get a few shots. Jazz will get a few shots as well. Because the nature of a football match is, it's a football match. There are too many variables in football. There are too many variables. So even if you have this thing where it's a system, it's micromanagement, you're coaching every single thing, all it takes is for one crazy moment between three players to produce something, and they've scored. And you can, and there's no amount of tactic that can account for that piece of magic between two or three players that opens up the defense and now scores. You know, and you can micromanage as much as you want. Sometimes it's just not your day. Sometimes your team just doesn't connect to those triangles and those things that you've been working on for all those days. So. And the issue I have with football is everybody trying to copy Pep. Like, the keeper. Bro, put that damn thing long, bro. It's like, it's a noise of the most. You can clearly see that the defenders are not comfortable receiving the ball. Or the keepers are not comfortable receiving the ball. But because you feel like, this is how football should be played. I'm like, how many times have you scored a goal from the keeper passing out back from the defender? Very rarely. So you're only doing it because it's the hip thing to do. Kick that bloody ball long. You'll eventually get it back. You'll eventually get it back. And stop yourself from conceding a really stupid goal. So, and I think, because football is heading into a very, very weird place right now. Because we saw the end of the number 10s.
Ozil, like I mentioned.
Ozil, James Rodriguez. And we're now seeing less and less individualism. And we're now getting to a point where I think someone even made the point on like the Hangouts where Musiala had crazy, I think he had the most completed dribbles at the World Cup. And the guy said, yeah, but how many goals did he score? How effective was he? What was his GA? And I'm like, what?
SGA.
But and that's the thing right now, because and that's where Haaland comes in. So Haaland can be a tree trunk for like 90 minutes, score two tap-ins. Hey, he's great the GOAT. Total goals. You know. No, my thing is that to bring it back to Hazard, a lot of Hazard's great games, he didn't score or have an assist. The games that Hazard had where this guy was bloody amazing. Bro, that game against France, World Cup 2018, he didn't score or have an assist. He was the best player on the pitch.
Hmm.
But we're living in a world where it's about stats. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting you mentioned, you know, Pop v. Jazz. I do wonder, just if you think back to the Jazz era, like of, you know, Billie Holiday, Coltrane, Charlie Parker, Nat King Cole, Lee Morgan, like all of these jazz musicians who died young because of the lifestyle that they lived. Like they didn't reach 40 years old.
Yeah.
There's so many jazz musicians who either got strung out on heroin or they were murdered somehow, or like there's something in the jazz culture, I don't know, that just leads itself to fading out sooner. But like while you're hot, you're white hot. You're the best. But then it fizzles out after a while. I don't know if that analogy could work in football, but you know, players like Ronaldinho, players like Hazard, you know, even Neymar to an extent. It's like they came, they seared everything, blazing hot, and then seemingly out of nowhere, in some cases, other times it's more gradual. You know, they fade away. Whereas I guess more pop artists, I don't know, maybe the lifestyle is a bit more tame and they're able to sustain themselves. I don't know. But the bringing up Saudi, I think we do need to mention this before we dip out. The 2026 World Cup is no, the 2030 World Cup, is it?
Yeah.
Now, okay, this is but before Hazard retired, the tentative title of this podcast was how bad was Blatter really?
He brought World Cup to Africa, man.
So okay, you can respect, make an Seb. Argument that because it's yes, you can make the argument that because it's called the World Cup, that it being in six countries and three different continents is representative of the world. I've seen people try to float that one.
Please,
But FIFA, I mean, it's ridiculous at this point. I mean, is nothing sacred? Is kind of my point here. Like, can we have one thing untouched, and it's already too late, by capitalism and money and greed and excess? And can we just have one thing in football that's just, you just don't fuck with it. Stop messing with it. 32 teams in one nation works. We don't need 48 in 200 different countries. And, you know,
it's greed. It's greed. Greed. It's the G word. Greed.
It's the C word, really. It's capitalism. But it's.
And greed.
I mean, they're the same thing.
Yeah. Okay, but, CG.
But it's like, bro, the World Cup, I'm not going to say it's the perfect tournament, but it's as close to. At least with in the 32 team format, it's as close to perfection as we've come up with. It worked. It was perfect, especially when it's hosted in one country. Like for all the human rights problems in Qatar that people might come up with, that was the last good World Cup that there's going to be.
Yeah.
32 nations in one country, and given the relative proximity of the stadiums in Qatar, I'm pretty sure if you went, it would have been easy to see a lot of games.
Yeah.
And really partake in the culture. But one game in Uruguay, one game in Paraguay, one game in Argentina, then three teams have to fly to Morocco, then they have to go to Spain. And it's a mess.
It was a mess.
When you heard it, what were your just quick thoughts on FIFA actually having a World Cup?
Oh, no. I laughed because also this now means that nobody's going to even bother to bid for 2034, which is going to Saudi. So that's already a done deal. It's, you see, my thing is because you have to watch ESPN FC because Ali makes a point. Argentina and Paraguay? Why? Because, see, here's my point. You have to mark 100 years. You simply have to.
Then have the tournament in Uruguay.
No, no, no. Okay, no. But they said Uruguay just doesn't have the facilities, which I think is BS because you knew this was coming up. FIFA, you have more than enough money to be
it's
like...
20.
No, no, no. Come 2018, we are going to make sure that from 2018, by 2030, you are ready to host it. But fine. You know what?
They built a stadium out of shipping containers in then, Qatar okay, let's, and then okay. disabled it. If you want let's to create, play
that game.
We can create.
Let's play that game. Uruguay can't hold it. Let's play that game. Even if I think that's BS. Host it in South America. And have the opening game in Uruguay and the final in Uruguay. But it's in South America. Might think, okay, you want to mark 100 years, but three games are in Argentina, Paraguay, and Uruguay. And then when you now reach DFA, which is the point that Ali made on ESPN FC, the CONMEBOL offices are in Paraguay. Ugh. So it's simple. Connected to the dots. Infantino does CONMEBOL is solid. So now comes back to voting. Hey, I gave Paraguay a game, bro. Vote for your boy. Yo, Gianni, I got you, bro. Hey.
Also, it's you. The North America's taken care of. So there was just one in Asia.
Yeah.
North America's taken care of. This tournament would hit Europe, Africa, and South America, which then would open the path for Saudi Arabia in 34.
Yeah.
So it's all about money. It's about
money,
we can get away with this. How do we stop this organization but keep the World Cup?
You can't.
Is there a way where we can keep a World Cup format? Maybe we don't call it a World Cup. Maybe we call it like an Earth Cup.
Look, it's good. Mrs. Asoja, it's going to be in 2 years.
We got to get rid of this guy.
There's going to be a World Cup
peacefully
in 2 years. And the next thing, there's going to be a World Cup that involves everyone in the world. I say, wait a minute. It is the World Cup. So there's a World Cup that's going to run from January to December.
Do you know what really annoys me about this, actually? Because I used to think, put as many teams in the World Cup as you want. Who cares? It's the World Cup. But then I had to think, hey, Daniel, there's a thing called qualification. You have to qualify for the tournament. Every team is already in the World Cup. You get to qualify for the thing. What my problem was is that the allocation of the 32
there we go. Well, Europe was
far,
too much, so.
it was too weighted in Europe's favor. So rob them of some teams like they do everybody else and give those spots to the world. That would be a more equitable solution. But it's not as if Uganda doesn't have a chance to play in Qatar. They did. They just messed up. Like they weren't good enough. So develop. It's interesting. I was talking, you know, Dahir, the Liverpool fan. It's the World Cup 2026 qualification group that we're in. It's Somalia, and this is apparently Somalia's first time actually legitimately being able to reach a World Cup. I think they're like 200th in the world though, so there's not a big chance. But it's like it's Guinea, Algeria, Mozambique, Uganda, Somalia, and I'm forgetting the other team. Zimbabwe maybe. Yeah, so Guinea and Algeria got those spots, but it's cool that Somalia has a chance. But it made me think again, like Somalia has a chance to qualify. It's just they're not going to qualify.
Yeah.
But it's not as if they don't have a chance to, you know. So
no, look, it's just great, man. It's great.
And every 2 years, yeah. Oh my God. It's just disappointment in the silence. I hope you guys get forgive. But anyway, final word on Eden Hazard. How would you sum him up, bro?
Oh no, I think time will be kind to him, because I think when you show a 15-year-old his highlights, what a player! Because my thing is, do we know all of Zico's failings? So is Zico is still seen as a revered
Why
player?
Zico?
You know, so I just throw it in there. So yeah,
I saw a video on Zico some time ago. It said, "How good was Brazil's white Pele?" I was like, "White Pele?"
I thought that was Rooney. So
Zico, I saw white Pele. I was like, "What? They did that?" But hey, either way, for Hazard, yeah, I hope history's kind to him. It's in my nature to want history to be kind to him. But I don't know, as I kind of said at the top, I don't know how this social media era is going to affect how we view football and footballers. If this was 20 years ago, he would retire. It wouldn't even be abnormal for someone to retire at 32. It's just like, yeah, like that's retirement age for a footballer. And we just go about our business and we have the highlights and they're in grainy kind of 720, 480, and everybody just, you know, watches the highlights. But now that people have access to way more football, everybody has an opinion on Twitter or X, sorry. I don't know. I don't know how kind it will be. I think a lot of people would just stay with their, what would it be, an agenda, you know? Mm. So, but what he does have is the highlights will speak for themselves. Like once you comp Eden Hazard's best moments over his career from Leo to Chelsea, I don't know if there were any at Madrid, probably not, but you comp him, worst case, Chelsea legend. Unquestioned Chelsea legend, worst case. And there are worse things to be than a Chelsea legend, I'm sure. So, that's a question. So he'll definitely be remembered as a Chelsea legend and a Premier League legend. Is Eden Hazard a legend of football? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think he's done enough. I would push the agenda. I'll push the agenda. But,
and low-key, yeah. I don't think any player in that generation is a legend of football, except maybe Kante and perhaps Salah. De Bruyne might be given it, and Kane. Okay, so there are a few. But in terms of that big three, Neymar, Pogba, and Hazard, I don't think I can legitimately make the argument that any of them are legends of football. Although they should have been.
Yeah.
Like, they aren't in the Messi, Maradona, Pele, R9, even Cristiano. They're not in that discussion. They're in the tier below. Which maybe makes them legends. But not to the level they should have been. But, yeah. We'll see what happens with Pogba. Because his retirement app might be soon. And Neymar, you better play 2026, bro. I'd be very disappointed if you didn't, but let's get out of here. This has been the Talking Tactics Podcast. My name's Daniel.
It's your boy Half Hope Double H.
Where can people get you?
HalfHopeFootballHot.com, man.
Remember to follow the second pod. If you're on Apple Podcasts, it's in our channel. Just go look it up. Sure. Trap Talking Race Africa on People. We're gonna have to get into Drake and Joe Budden and Israel Palestine as well. Free Palestine. Links are in the description, guys. You know what to do. Talk and Tech this podcast. Sometimes funny, sometimes serious.
Always for ball.
Peace.
Peace. Sports Social Podcast Network.